Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
All right. Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, City View. How you guys all doing? Wow, thanks, honey. I'm glad you're the only one who said hi. How's everyone else all doing? Okay, that's good. Hope you guys are having a good start of your summer. It's June 2nd now. Yesterday, my dad turned 70 years old. That's the craziest thing in the world, to know my dad's 70. I'm 40. I'm like, so you were like 30, huh? You waited a long time. but, you know, good things always come when you wait. So every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. That's what I tell my dad. Is he still here? No, he left. So, but hey, good morning. Nice to see you guys. Today we're starting a new series. A series titled The Greatest Stories Ever Told. You know, and they were told by the greatest man who ever lived. Jesus was one of the best he was the best storyteller ever to walk this earth. Jesus had a way of telling stories that grabbed your heart and taught you a truth at the same time, and many times I don't even think they knew what was happening. He'd speak to crowds, and he'd want to get this big truth across to these people, and he would speak to them in a way that was through story. Not through preaching and not through trying to teach them to understand all these words and how to, but he taught them through story. So they might grab their heart. So what we're going to do is over the next few weeks, we're going to look at a few of the different parables. And Jesus did that through parables. We're going to look at a few of the different parables of Jesus and the truths that he wanted us to receive in those stories. You know, and the first one we're looking at is out of Luke. And where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And my message title for today is Shameless Persistence. And I don't know about you. I have kids and my boys, and my name is Dad at home. But sometimes I feel like my name is Dad, 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 Dad. It's not just Dad. It's like multiple dads. It's Dad, 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 Dad. Today, one of my sons was telling me a story, Ezra, my youngest, and he's sitting there on the ground putting his shoes on. He goes, Dad, 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 Dad. I go, yes, Ezra, what's up? And I'm looking at him, and he goes, and so I was doing this, Dad, 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 Dad. I'm like, what? Do you just, like, get stuck on this repeat, like, in the middle of the conversation? Dad, 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 Dad. I'm like, that's not. But, you know, I love this persistence that my son has. I love that he's so shameless at it, and he will just talk. And, you know, so many times as a dad, there are times when my kids will be asking me for something, and my first response is no. How many times you ever do that, parents? Your first response is no. And you haven't even heard what they're asking for. They're asking you for something. You haven't even listened to their whole story. You haven't even listened to the whole spiel. Your first response is no. It's a no. But then once they start talking and they start sharing with you more about what's going on, you realize, oh, yeah, that's not big of a deal because they were shameless to keep going. And you realize a yes is just fine. Shameless persistence. When I think of shameless persistence of a person, I think of one of my kids, our neighbors across the street, and he will come to our house, and he will knock on our door wanting to hang out with our kids, and he knocks on our door, and he waits until we come downstairs, until we open that door, and he says, hey, can your boys come out and play? And our first response many times is a no. And what he does, and I don't know what your parents taught you, but my parents told me that when an adult says no, that's the end of the story. You don't ask why or anything. And so this young man, we will say no. The first thing out of his mouth is why? When? And I'm like, because I said so and never. Bam! No, I'm kidding. I don't do that. But, you know, but he's shamelessly persistent. He wants them to come out, and he's shameless in it. And then I think about my kids when they want to have one of their buddies over. And it's here at church, and they'll come up to us after service, our boys, one of them, and he usually will corner us when we're in the middle of a whirlwind of things going on. Do your kids ever catch you in that moment if you have kids? It's in the middle of a whirlwind, and they say, hey, can I do this? And you're like, yes, and you're either it's a quick yes or it's a quick no because you're not even thinking. It's a moment reaction. And so our kids will go, hey, can so-and-so come over and hang out at our house today? And my first thought is always no, but see, my kids are shameless and persistent. Why? And I think about this, and so many times these stories, like, it can seem bad, but many times the answer comes to be a yes because I realize it's not that big of a deal and it's a good thing they're asking. Being shamelessly persistent, and then I wonder, how many of us are shamelessly persistent with God? Or how many of us give up too soon? See, one thing I realized this week as I was studying this chapter is shameless persistence reveals true dependence. Because when you are shamelessly dependent on God, so when you're shamelessly persistent with God, you're showing that he's the only one you can depend on because he's the only one that has the answer. That's what we're going to be looking at today. Are we shamelessly dependent and are we shamelessly persistent with God? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives. Lord, some of us, we're in the middle of the mud and the mire and the muck and all the stuff, and we're just trying to hold on to you with every bit of strength that we have. And others of us, Lord, we are, Lord, just having a great day, and we're loving everything you're doing. Lord, no matter where we are, where we're at in this moment, God, I pray that we'd be able to focus on you. Lord, I ask, God, that you would speak to your people all over the valley this morning, Lord. No matter what church they're at, whether they're at Hillsong or Valley Life or North Valley, Lord, or Desert Springs Bible Church, Lord, with Caleb and Andrew over at Cross Church, Lord, wherever your people are speaking this morning, God, and your people are hearing, God, I ask that you'd speak to them at churches all over the valley. Lord, speak to us at City View in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You know, many times we come to God with our well wishes. But imagine if we came to God with such boldness, knowing he desires to listen and he cares. You know, many times we come to God with that quarter, we throw it in the well going, I hope God can answer this one. God, here you go. And we do that. And so sort of a well wish with God. But what if we came to God with shameless persistence? What if we came to God and we just kept going and asking and praying and seeking him? What if we did that? See, Jesus, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is getting ready to teach his disciples how to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and he himself, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. And may your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not let us yield to temptation. When I was a kid, I memorized this in the King James. Why parents did that, I don't know, because half it's way too hard to remember. But I memorized that. So in my brain, as I'm reading it in the New Living, it reads so different. But Jesus here, he just finished praying, and his disciples had to have watched him because this is a constant thing of Jesus. He prayed a lot. And so they would have seen him have these moments with his Father. To them, it was God. To them, it was just God. And they saw him have these moments, and so they said to him, hey, Jesus, teach us to pray. John taught his guys to pray. Why haven't you taught us that? Man, imagine that moment. Hey, Jesus, teach us to pray like you because you're different. And so Jesus, as he gets ready to teach them how to pray, he wants them to realize that prayer is about sonship and daughtership, not about friendship. So first thing, you're praying to God not like he's a buddy, but like he's your father. And I know some of us in here, we may have had jacked up fathers. We may have had the most terrible idea of what a dad is. And for us to look at a dad and try to pray to a father is like, no way. I'd rather pray to a buddy. I'd rather just pray to God in general, some holy being up in heaven. But praying to God, a father, I don't know. But Jesus wants us to realize that our Heavenly Father, that God in heaven, is the most amazingly loving father that anybody could ever dream to have. And so Jesus tells his disciples, first you start, Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus gives them guidelines for prayer. The first thing Jesus wants to do is he wants them to focus on God and his holy name and his kingdom. He wants their eyes to be up. You see, so many times we get so distracted in our prayer life because our eyes are down in the mud. And if you are always stuck in the mud, you can never see the good that's happening. You just feel like you're always trudging. You feel like you're always stuck. You feel like it's always bad. But Jesus wants us first to get our eyes up. Our Father who is in heaven. Our Father who is holy. Our Father who is mighty. He says, get your eyes up. Your kingdom come. When you get your eyes up and you're focusing on the Lord, then God all of a sudden gives us this 30,000 feet view where we can see things from his perspective. Where we can see that he has a plan. Many times we're stuck in the middle, so all we see is what's immediately in front of us and what's behind us. We can't see 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, 30 days down the road. We can't see that because we're stuck in it. So Jesus, his first thing he wants to teach them is, you're praying to a Father, your Father, an amazing Father, and you're wanting his name to be glorified. You're wanting his kingdom, because when our eyes are up, then he says, now look down and say, God, give us today the things I need. Because if you guys are anything like me, many times my prayers start with the things I need. And then I get distracted. Because there's a lot of things that I think I need. I can think of plenty. Like right now, it's sort of in need of food. And I'm thinking about it as I talked about needs. I'm not going to get distracted right now. But he says, give us today our daily bread, your needs. And then he says, and focus on repentance. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Because it's many times in those things where we've made mistakes that we sort of feel like God has built up a wall, but God is never the one that builds walls. We're the only wall builders. It says in Ephesians that Jesus broke down walls. Joshua, you look at Joshua, Jesus broke down walls. Jesus is the wall tearer down. We are the wall builders. And God says, don't build walls between you and me. Your sin does not build a wall. I did not put it there. You did. Let's break it down. So he says, okay, as you're focusing, Jesus says, okay, you focus on God. You focus on how holy he is and his kingdom. And then start praying about your needs, because when your eyes are up and you look at your needs, you realize some of the things you're praying for you really don't need anymore. You realize that they're not as important. And then when you start realizing how holy God is, you start realizing who you are. And you're like, God, help me, forgive me, I'm jacked up. And there's so much freedom when you can give those things to God. And if you're anything like me, I can start building up sin. And I can start piling it on my back. And I just can start carrying that load. And man, if I'm not asking the Lord to forgive me every day, that gets heavy. The burden of sin can get so heavy. And Jesus is like, dump it. You don't need to carry it. Let me have it. Because if you can be forgiven, then you can so quickly forgive. And then he says, ask God to lead you. So I'm wondering at this moment, as Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he's seeing that deer in the headlights look. How many of you guys have ever had somebody break down something that Jesus thought, that your professor maybe in class or somebody you're working with, they told you what you need to do, and then you look at them going, what? You guys ever have that moment? Somebody explained something to you. It could be something so simple to them, like Laramie wanted me to help with the kids' math the other day. Now my son's in like sixth grade. You know, are you smarter than a sixth grader? I don't know. I'm not. She goes, hey, go help Judah with his math problem. I go and look at it, and I'm like, I have no idea. Even if you show me the cheat sheet in the back of the book, I still have no clue how he got from one point to, no clue. Math was not my, school wasn't my strong suit, as a whole, school in general, K through, like, however many years of college and all that, too. But you see, the thing is, Jesus, I'm wondering at this moment, as he says this, the disciples go, sort of like that scene in Guardians of the Galaxy where that one guy is saying, yeah, I understand. And he says, no, I don't. I wonder if the disciples are like, pray, Father in heaven, holy your name, all this kingdom come, bread, sin, lead us. You guys understand? No. Okay, let me break it down. He says, I'm going to tell you a story. And like, okay, great, story time with Jesus. Verse 5. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at the middle of the night to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and you say to him, first off, nobody borrows bread. You eat it and it's gone, you have to give it back. But either way, verse 6. A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night, and my family and I are in bed, I cannot help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for a friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Can you imagine someone knocking at your door at one in the morning? Can you imagine that? So here's the story. This is time, it's in the Middle East, and this guy, let's call him George, and George is at home and he's chilling, and all of a sudden his friend comes over from this long journey and says, hey, George, how are you doing? He's like, man, I'm doing good. How are you? He goes, man, it's great, but it's a really long trip. I'm really hungry. Oh, man, I don't have any food. It's that person's house. You ever go to the friend's house that never has food? If you are a parent of boys, always have food in your house and have the best food so the kids always want to hang at your house. Side note, just to help you out. And so he's like, I don't have any food, but my best buddy, Harry, he does. Harry's wife, Sally, makes the best food. She is the best bread ever. I'm going to go to his house. Dude, but it's 1 a.m. It's okay. He'll get up for me. So he goes over to Harry's house. George goes to Harry's house, and he starts knocking at the door in 1 a.m. And Harry goes, dude, go away. I'm already in bed. Now, here's the story. In the Middle East, like, it's pretty common to, it's okay to do these kind of things. It's very hospitable culture, not like American culture. I almost look at it more as Hispanic culture, where if no matter what time, there's always food in a house of a Hispanic family. They just feed you no matter what time of day. White culture, my culture, it's like, you'll eat in the morning. Go make yourself a bowl of cereal. Is that not right? Yeah, we got cereal, but, you know, Hispanic culture is like, hey, I'll whip up, you know, anything, burrito or whatever. It's like, come on, I was born in the wrong culture, man. And so in the Middle East, it was just so hospitable and loving, and people would provide and do that for each other. So this guy goes to his friend's house. Now, in those homes in those days, how it worked, it was a smaller, like a one-bedroom apartment, and your living space was on the bottom floor, okay, in a small little hut. Okay, your living space on the bottom floor, that was sort of where your kitchen was and all of that stuff, along with your animals. So like your cow that you sort of use for milk, your goat, your sheep, all not your herds, but a few of your animals, the choice ones would live in your house at the bottom floor. Okay, that's the bottom floor. Would smell like my boy's room. So you got the bottom floor, and then the top floor, which is just right above them, would be you and your kids. So you and your wife and then all your kids would be sleeping in the same bed with you. That's the story. That would be terrible. I am glad I live here. Okay? So it's 1 a.m. Everybody's in bed. All of a sudden, somebody's knocking at your door. Do you understand how big of a deal this is at 1 a.m? Your kids are sleeping. You have that one kid that if they wake up, they're going to wake up the entire family, and you do not want them to wake up at 1 a.m. You know that kid? And you know that animal that if you wake it up, it's going to wake up all the other animals. And so you're like, get away. We've locked the door for tonight. But then you have that friend that is shamelessly persistent. And he knocks. And he knocks. And he knocks. He doesn't go next door because he knows that the only person in his village that's going to have bread is this friend right next door. He knows that the only one that is going to be willing to answer his knock at 1 a.m. is this friend. So he is shamelessly dependent on this friend. He's shamelessly persistent. He is knocking and knocking and knocking. He's not going to go anywhere until his friend opens the door. How many of us have given up after a few knocks when it comes to God? How many of us said, you know what, maybe God's not listening. Maybe God doesn't care. Maybe God doesn't have the answer. And then we go next door. You see, he could have gone next door, but he doesn't go next door. And I think many of us, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to seeking God, we've gone next door. We've given up on God, and we go to something else. We're like, okay, God, maybe you don't want to answer. I'm going to go next door. Because, you know, many times we want God like the 30-second microwave. Pop in that meal, and all of a sudden it happens right away. But you see, God is more like a crock pot many times in our life, where he's like, if you wait, you'll have a way better meal than the 30 seconds in the microwave. But you see, we want God to answer right now. And so we knock on that door. He doesn't answer, so we go next door. And then we go and get something quicker. We go and get something that we think will answer and solve our problems immediately. But you see, God wants us to be shamelessly persistent. Because when you're shamelessly persistent, it reveals your true dependence. It reveals that you're dependent on God, and he's the only one that has the answer. Just like this friend knew, this guy next door was the only one that had the answer. So he knocks, and he knocks, and he knocks. Because he was desperate. Because he was shameless. Because he was persistent. And he knew at some point his friend would break down and come downstairs and open the door. And I don't know what that friend was like. I don't know if he just threw the piece of the bread at him and said, go. Or maybe he got up and said, hey, I'll go with you next door. I want to hang out with him too. I don't know. But you see, the friend didn't give up. And Jesus is trying to get into his disciples' minds this idea of being shamelessly persistent with God, of praying and asking and seeking God. And so Jesus, he goes into verse 9 and says, and so I tell you. And so I tell you. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask you for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you, being sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you? The ESV reads, and I tell you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. Jesus here is encouraging his disciples' shameless persistence with their Father. Jesus says these words. He says, ask, seek, and knock. And it holds this idea of keep asking. Don't give up. Keep asking. Keep seeking. That's what he's saying. Keep seeking. Don't ask once. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Don't ask once. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Don't knock once. Keep knocking. God often waits for our passion and persistence in prayer. It isn't that God is reluctant and needs to be persuaded. Our persistence doesn't change God. It changes us. It changes our hearts. It's developing us a passion so that we might have what God wants. You see, as we are praying and as we are asking God, the idea is if we are asking God, God, you are holy, and as you are realizing who God is and how mighty God is, and then you are saying, God, your will be done, then all of a sudden the things that we're asking for, they start changing because we start realizing I'm asking for the wrong thing. I'm asking for what I don't need. I'm asking for what I want, but it's not really what I need. And Jesus says, you know, if you fathers, if your kids come to you and they say, hey, I'm hungry, would you give them a snake? Now, I was thinking about this. I mean, I might mess around with them, with the rubber snake, not going to lie. I'm like that. But you see, he's not talking about like a little gardener snake. He's talking about a viper. He's talking about something poisonous. And he says, and if your child wants an egg, first off, I would never ask for an egg because I don't really like them. But if your child wants an egg, would you give them a scorpion? He's trying to get these extremes into your mind. He's trying to get you to realize an extreme. And even, he says, even you fathers who are not very good, I can be a jacked up dad sometimes. Even you jacked up dads, you desire to give your kids good gifts. You desire to be a good dad. And I know some of you in here, you did not have good examples of fathers. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But God wants you to realize that Jesus wants you to realize that his Father, our Heavenly Father, is a better dad than we could ever imagine or think. And he says if the earthly dads could give their kids good gifts, how much more does your dad want to bless you? You see, the other day, my family and I, we were on our way to go shopping, and my kids, those of you who were a couple weeks ago, we had this message on sort of how do you get out of a rut, and one of the things that we shared was redesign and redefine. And so my wife and I, we've been doing that in different rooms in our house, sort of changing them around, not like doing makeovers, but moving furniture, getting rid of stuff. And so we did that in our boys' rooms, in their bedroom, and then they have a game room. All my boys are in one room together, and it can be great smelling sometimes. And so all my boys are in one room, and the room next door is their game room. So we moved some bookshelves, and I want to get my kids a futon, but I want to spend full price on one, but I also don't want to get a nasty one. And so I found one. I think it was either OfferUp or Facebook Marketplace, one of those, and I found one. And I messaged the guy, said, hey, is this still available? And he said, pending pickup. And so Laramie goes, well, if the Lord wants us to have it, we'll get it. And my son Judah goes, but why does God care? Why does God care about that? And so we were able to share with our son, it's because God cares about the little things. No, we didn't get the couch. It wasn't what we needed. Doesn't mean it was a little more than I wanted to spend, too. But you see, we so many times, we like, God, are you listening? Do you care? And you can give up in that moment. And many of us, we've given up in that moment. And we stop asking. We stop knocking. We stop seeking. We've given up. And God wants us to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to be shamelessly persistent. He wants us to be like my son who says, Dad, 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 Dad. I mean, that's totally annoying. But God doesn't get annoyed with you. In our mind, we get wrapped up that God is like our dad that gets annoyed and says, what? But you see, God being more like a crock pot than a microwave, God doesn't want to give us our immediate thing, and sometimes he doesn't, and sometimes he wants us to wait. On March 3rd at City View, we had a board meeting on this day, March 3rd this year. And in that board meeting, at the end of it with the leaders of the church, we were praying about a few specific things, and one of them was one of our my good friends is really would like to be married. And so he's like, I just need wisdom on this relationship I'm in. I'm like, okay, we'll pray for that. Another one, and you're like, does God even care? Of course God cares. And another one was my brother runs a business, and he goes, guys, I've got so much money out in all the other contracts that we're doing. I need money to come in. We're like, okay. Another thing we were praying about is, God, how much longer do you want us to be in the movie theater? I mean, is this forever? Do you want us to move soon? Like, how much longer do you want us to be in here? And so that was one of our prayers. And then we had another thing we were praying for. And so that there were four specific things. And then the next day, March 4th, my brother calls me and says, hey, I just want to let you know money came in. That's amazing. The next day, that buddy I was praying for, he goes, hey, I just want to let you know it's not going to work out. Me and this girl is like, okay, got answered. And then that same day, March 4th, I get a text from Renee. She's one of the managers here at AMC. She texts me. She says, hey, I want to tell you that I was ready to quit and ready to leave today. I just needed to be gone. She goes, but I went into the City Kids check-in area, and I just sat and I prayed, and I met God today. And so we're like, okay, God, do we move? And God says, no, look at what you're doing. Look at what you've done. You're impacting lives. And so we see this and how God answered. If you look at that, God didn't answer all the prayers with a yes. He answered one with, here's what you need. He answered one with a no. And he answered another one with, look at this life change. I don't want you to go. And the last one that we were praying about just some new things going on in the City View. And he said, I need you to wait. He said, yes, no, wait. You see, God, we want him to answer, and we want him to tell us. And so in each of those things, and all those things are constant. We're praying about so many different things, and God wants us to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. But so many of us, we've given up on the first try because he didn't answer like the 30 seconds on our microwave, and we don't realize that it's what's going on in the crock pot. You see, my wife, she makes this carnitas, this pork, and man, when she puts it in, I could be hungry first thing in the morning. I could grab that slab of nasty pork, pick it up, and take a bite out of it, and who knows what I would get, but I would be satisfied for a moment. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, when I come home after work and I smell what's cooking, see, how many of us, God is cooking something, but we just have to wait till it's done. We're so quick to go grab the bugles that are in our pantry when God has something stewing in the crock pot for us. We want that quick satisfaction, but God says, but I have something so much better for you if you just wait. And so Luke, he says to, as he's writing this, Jesus says, knock, seek, ask. God wants to answer. And he says, just like your earthly father wants to give you good gifts, your heavenly father does too. And he wants to give you the Holy Spirit. In the book of Matthew, Matthew talks about the same passage. But Matthew says, God desires to give you good gifts. Luke goes a little deeper. Luke says, and God wants to give you, our father wants to give you the Holy Spirit, because Luke sees the Holy Spirit as the best gift. James tells us this about God, James chapter 1, verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens, and he will never change or cast shifting shadows. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. You see, God desires to give you good gifts, not every gift. Did you see that? If you look at that first verse, it says, whatever is good and perfect God wants to give you the good and perfect things, not everything. You see, if it were up to my kids, some of my kids, they would eat popcorn first thing in the morning. They would eat, if it were up to me, I might eat ice cream or sour gummy worms, whatever. That might be what they want first thing in the morning for breakfast, but that's not good for them. But I want to give my kids every good and perfect gift. So as we are praying and as we're seeking God, God is going to help us understand what is good and perfect. He's going to change what we're praying for. Why does God desire to give us good and perfect gifts? Did you see what it says at the end of verse 18? Because out of all creation, you are his choice possession. That's why he desires to give you good and perfect gifts. And why does Luke, of all things, he doesn't pick to be a millionaire, he doesn't pick anything, he says, and God's good gift is the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Luke is at the back end, realizing what the Holy Spirit has done. Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send by in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 16, verse 13, and when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So the reason why Luke sees the Holy Spirit as the best gift is he realizes that the Holy Spirit was sent to help us live life, to help us understand how to pray. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in those moments where you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to ask. You're sort of mad at God. You're mad at the situation. You don't understand. You don't even have words to pray. Have you ever been in that moment where you don't even know what to say? You're just sort of sitting there. Either you're crying because you're so hurt, you're so angry, or you just have no clue what to say. And you're just sort of sitting there going, God, you've got to take this. You ever been in that moment? Because I have plenty of times. What the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit says, hey, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help interpret what is going on in your heart. And the Holy Spirit tells God, hey, God, this is what's going on in their heart right now. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit teaches us so that as we are praying and as we're looking at life, have you ever been in those moments where you realize all of a sudden the very thing you're asking for is the very thing you don't need? And something is tugging on your heart or something is saying, hey, you need to change how you're living. You need to not live like that anymore. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts teaching you and the Holy Spirit starts guiding you in the way you should live your life. And the Holy Spirit shows us truth. You see, many of us are asking for the wrong things. My kids will ask for the wrong things, and I want to help them learn what the right things are. So as their father, I want to help them learn what the right things are. And same as our father. He wants us to learn what the right things are to ask. You see, I think many of us, as I said, we've stopped asking. We do more well-wishing prayers than keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking kind of prayers. I want to encourage you, be shameless in your asking. Be persistent in your seeking. When we are shamelessly persistent, it shows a dependence saying, God, you are the only one that has an answer for this. God, you're the only one that has an answer for this. Because shameless persistence reveals true dependence. So be persistent. Be shameless. Because God has an answer for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are a loving God that cares for us. Lord, I don't know what we're praying about. I don't know. Some of us, maybe we've given up on you and we're done with you. Lord, I ask, God, that you would speak to us. Some of us, Lord, we're needing you to answer something, and we've been praying about it for weeks, months, years. God, I ask that you'd speak to us, Lord. If it's wait longer, then, Lord, give us the patience. Lord, if it's an answer of a no, Lord, I pray that we would listen to it. Lord, I ask, God, that you, Lord, show us how real you are this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.